now, we were all just saying what a great track that was, and that is Unsigned. That is Angelo V, Lovers SOS. It's a great track, isn't
it? It's lovely.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's lovely. Now, I'm joined, as you can hear, by the dulcet tones of Sylvia Kent. Sylvia is a journalist and writer, has an amazing blog as well, and she's also got a brand new book out, which we're going to be talking about in a minute. And our guest is Lisa Horner, who's here to talk about her book, which is called Lost Basildon. So good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Oh,
full of life.
Full of life and full of joy. I've had Lisa, my guest, has been making Sylvia a cup of coffee.
Oh,
which,
so
thank
kind.
You so much. For that. That was very, I like the way you went, oh, I'll have a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Well, she'll sweep the chimney next time, and then do a little bit of hoovering.
Don't, if you're in here hoovering, Lisa, you'd be here for weeks. weeks. Now, we're going to start off with yourself, Sylvia.
Yeah.
We'll talk about your brand new book in a second. Now, Brentwood Writer Circle, what are you reading at the moment?
Well, it's the readers, actually. Billericay, we start with usually, don't you?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Billericay Readers Groups,
yeah, because we read and write, and the two are so joined, aren't they? But it's all going well. We are always so grateful to Billericay Library for finding the books for us, really up to date stuff, as well as all the old favourites, you know. And this takes place every month, second Tuesday in the month. And again, I'm reading Eleanor Oliphant Is Completely Fine, and I didn't realise what a wonderful book it is. You know, they give them to me and I find time to try and read, but this is fabulous. And I have to present it at the next meeting and tell the other 20 what I thought about it. Not everyone agrees. Sometimes we have a few fights.
Yeah. Bit of wrestling.
but on the whole, it's great.
What's that book about?
It's about a solitary person. She writes it in first person, and it's about her very dull, horrible life, and there are secrets there, and she puts signposts out, which most good writers do if they're writing fiction. And at the end, it's wonderful. It all comes together, which I love.
Is it set in this time period, or is it set
it's set a decade ago, so but I learn something with every book I read. Even ghastly things, which I have to keep going to the end, because that's what we do, don't we? As Lisa, as writers, we have to absorb and take into account. And it helps our own, because I also write fiction now. I've just won another award, I believe, in London.
Yeah.
But today we're not talking about that. And over the last, let's see, this is my 12th book that's coming out, and so I've been in and out of Waterstones, and I'm sure Lisa has, and at different places signing books. At the Oktoberfest at Callcott Farm was wonderful. I was signing there and saw many, many friends from way back when I lived in the town for 40 years. So you do match up with people. Now, the Writers' Circle.
Yeah, that's his Brentwood Writers' Circle.
Yes, I'd love Lisa to come to that. We had a superb speaker on Saturday, a whole day event. We have this once a year, but on the whole, we usually have a Saturday afternoon for 2 hours. And that was brilliant, and all our people turned up. And London, at that society, it sounds as though I'm joining all the society, but I don't really. I just love writing, and I love the people that are connected. And our vice president, as you know, I'm vice president of this society, and our president is Baroness Floella Benjamin.
And this is the Women's Writers and Journalism,
SWWJ, and she took us, all of us, to the AGM held there, and a lovely tour, and all around the palace, and a really nice tea. Oh. So a lot of people had never been there. Mm. I worked there for 26 years, so I could have led the march, but it was lovely, and we had a lovely do. But as I say, we are here today to introduce Lisa, and you can do that beautifully.
We will do in a minute, but I just want to carry on with you, because I've got a question in from Mel, who knows Lisa as well. So Mel said, can I be a pain? Can you ask Sylvia if she's read Miss Pettigrew Lives for a Day? I read it by chance earlier this year, and I loved it so much, and I'd read it again straight afterwards. Have you ever read
that? I haven't, but if it's got that attribution. I will put that on my list.
There we go.
Because our lot are very lively in Billericay, and they love anything that's properly reviewed, and obviously this is so. Mel is one of your
listeners. Yeah, and she's also a friend of Lisa's as well, so she's tuned in today to give you some support there. Yay. Lisa,
so Mel.
Well, good for Mel. Now your book, we just carry on. Sylvia, you've got your book is I thought you weren't writing any more books, did you say?
I did say that a year ago.
She's been saying that for, and every year she still carries on writing.
Yeah,
and writing,
a bit
and writing.
Naughty, but as you know, your name gets around, and you are offered work. How about that?
Yeah.
No begging people. And yes, Amberley, I've written for them. I did a book on Barking and Dagenham, which is 5 years old now. But they did come back and offered me 11. And I'm sure Lisa's also, you know, what do you choose? So I chose buildings, Brentwood in 50 buildings. And then I thought, where would I get them?
Yeah.
And then started research. I only had 1 year in which to do this.
Yeah.
I found 500 buildings.
Yeah.
Because Brentwood Borough is large, and the town full of timber-framed houses, as you know, with funny bits over the front so you can't tell. But we're out at Blackmoor and, well, all over the place, a wonderful schools and churches and funny old barns and... Mm. You know, you could make a story. Well, starting to study the area, you've got these stories. People live there. Everyone had a place to start.
Mm.
And it was exhausting, but lovely.
What's one of the top, for you, the find that you went, I didn't realise that about that building, for you? Which one was
crumbs.
It?
Well,
there must be quite a few out of the 50, but...
Yes, of really the 500.
Yeah.
But I did love Ingatestone Hall, and I did like finding the priest holes. And then that started me on Roman Catholicism, which is why you find on the front cover the cathedral. And that too, there have been four buildings on that site.
Mm.
But you take everything for granted when you live in a town, and it's only when you take the time to really talk to people and find, you know, people that lived there years and years ago. And
and Frances Clamp, we all know, who is a fantastic writer, says look up.
Always.
That's one of the things when you go along Brentwood High Street or anywhere, you don't tend to look up in the air. And if you look up, then you see the top of the building. You go, that's quite an old building. Oh, that's from the 50s. Yeah. But we don't. We all kind of, keep our heads
and
down.
South End as well. It's a lovely place.
Wonderful. Yeah. The roofs and the tiling, and it's wonderful. But, you know, we are a bit funny, aren't we? No, Lisa, and I'm not including you in that. But really, you tend to think into things, don't you?
And you're in your own little bubble half the time, aren't you?
You are. Yeah.
So now, we're going to take a very short break, do some ads, and we'll have a little track by Post Malone with Circles. Then we're coming back with writer Lisa Horner, and we'll be talking about her brand new book, which is called Lost Basildon. And we've also got a little story about Spitalfields as well coming up too, which is a little bit cheeky.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
When did you first become interested in writing?
Right, it sort of happened to me. I was involved in an art group, and I was involved in some community art as well. And Mike Harrington, he ran the art group called Start in Vange, and he knew Vin Harrop. Vin Harrop was doing... So putting together the Basildon Heritage Trail, and I thought, do you know what? And I was in my 30s, I think, then, and or maybe 40s, I can't remember now. But I sort of thought, I'd love to be a researcher. That sounds intelligent. So I approached him and said, do you need any more researchers? And he said, yes. So, yeah, I spent a lot of time walking around, going around with him, interviewing people, and also looking in books as well, falling asleep, reading things up, you know. And, so that's how I got started. I put a blog together. And then I was approached by Amberley Publishing many years later, after I'd been to university for art, when I got my degree, to write a book.
Now, you got BA Honours in Art and Design.
Yeah.
But I was looking at some of what you were saying about your nan. Now, your nan was quite a storyteller, and there was a little story about Spitalfields.
That's right, she was. She was... She was Bette Midler. She's born on the same day as her, so she's quite vivacious. And, she used to shock me with I had the comparison to today, what things were like then. She went with some of her eight brothers and sisters to Smithfield Market and dived under the stalls to collect scraps of meat. And then great Nan, Polly, she would make a stew from it that would last for days. Oh. And by the sound of it, Polly really looked after the family. I think her father was a breadwinner, but she was the one they, you know, all relied on and loved, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can't imagine that now, can you? I mean, people complain that they haven't got a mobile phone or a TV, and then you've got people back in the day where literally you would starve if you didn't get anything, if you couldn't find food.
I know.
It's amazing. It really is.
Just imagining looking after all them children as well.
Yeah, because families are so much bigger as well.
They were, yeah.
And you didn't get that many that survived, actually, back in the, like, the 1900s. There would be some that wouldn't, you know, there was always big families of 8 or 9 or 10 that would end up being sort of 4 or 5.
You hear about that, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Terrible stories. Now, you were a researcher who said Basildon Heritage Trail with our mutual friend, Francis Clamp. So have you worked, you've worked with Francis?
I have, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And what sort of projects were you doing with Frances?
Well, I worked with her on the Basildon Heritage Trail.
Yeah.
Obviously, I came in a little bit later and I added to it. You know, she did an awful lot of work towards it, including Vintu. She helped me in one of my community art projects as well. She did a storytelling workshop for the children at Northlands Park, where you sort of took over the cafe and the children came in, and she helped me there as well.
Mm.
So that's another time when I worked for her.
Yeah. She's great. We like her here. Yeah. Now, your first book, Basildon Through Time, was published in 2014, and you took the majority of the photographs as well, and you were actually approached by Amberley Publishing to write it as well?
The majority of the photographs, the old photographs, were from Basildon Heritage, the Basildon Borough Heritage Society.
Right.
But I've also took some of a lot of the new photographs, but I've also got a photographer who took photographs too, involved in it too.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was the other question?
It was just you were asked to write that book in particular.
I was, yes. They came, I did a blog with all my research from the sort of like Basildon Library and papers they keep at the back and things like that.
Mm.
And I put it all on this blog, and they came across my blog when they were looking for a writer for this book. I think I did find out they had approached Ken Porter, but he was busy that year.
Mm.
So then, you know, I was second choice, but I was just very fortunate that they approached me. That's because amazing. Of that blog as well.
Like you were saying, Sylvia, to actually get be approached to write a book, that's every it's writer's dream.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Now, your new book, which is called Lost Basildon, which was released in August, it's literally just out.
Yeah.
The first chapter on it is about shopping.
Yes. I think shopping has changed drastically generally, but it's in Basildon in particular, because there was these long lines of little shops, and there was a very close community where people used to go in and know the names of the shop owners or the shop assistants. And for example, Langdon High Road, that all the little shops were from the station all the way up to the dual carriageway that we know now. There's little shops all the way there. It's unbelievable. And then there's Vange, and there was Pitsy as well. And of course, when Basildon New Town was built, even though the houses were there and people had to get buses, first of all, for the first sort of 8 or 9 years, because the first shop wasn't built until 1958, even though the new town was 1949. But once it's got established, it took business from these the little shops, and they started to disappear. And then there was the Langdon shopping centre. And then things changed there as well, because of the internet and high business rates and all that sort of thing. So things have changed there. And then we've moved from like the video shop, Blockbuster, that's gone. That was the in thing once, and then that's gone.
Yeah.
You know, and it's changed drastically over the years, shopping.
Yeah.
So quite amazing, really.
The thing is, when I've had the leader of the council in the studio, and we were talking about this issue for Brentwood High Street as well. But the point is, if people can moan about, well, I've got no local shops and the shops are going, but if people go home and then shop online and order through Amazon or everything else, then that's just what will happen. It's a bit like your holidays, because people used to do teletext years ago, or you went into a travel agency. Now you go on to the internet. So it's really up to the general public. If you want a high street, go and shop at the high street.
Yeah.
And if you don't shop at the high street, then the high street will disappear.
And you can tell the difference at Christmas time. Do you remember how busy the roads used to be at Christmas time. They're not now, are they?
No, definitely not.
Maybe people could become a bit more wised up about how to Christmas shop. Maybe, I don't know, but you don't get the
sit indoors with a cup of tea and it gets delivered. But I do. I still quite like going out to, you know, the shops and, you know, having a good look, nose around. That's you know, with my mum, as you know, I take her out everywhere I go.
Her mum.
So yes, my mum is there. Eileen, yeah, she won't be listening. She never tunes in. Oh. But never mind. Now, your latest book, Lost Basil, and tell us about some of the other chapters in the book as well.
Yeah, okay. So I've got shopping, then I've got the working day, and I've got some special features in there because I found some amazing people who gave me photographs and told me a bit about their lives. That was Tom King and his experience working at the Echo and growing up and seeing Basildon sort of growing from greenfields because he was there from a he wasn't born there, but from a child. And Geraldine Evans, whose family ran the barge for 70 years. So I've got such amazing stories from her that I've actually written a piece for the Essex Life magazine because I knew I could expand on it. And, so it started, well, I think it was 1937, I have to look now. But her aunt, she came down from London. She'd had experience in London running as a landlady, and she sort of took over the barge just sort of on the cusp of war. So they actually made a fortune because there was an army camp right nearby.
Yeah.
They made a fortune in them sort of over the war years. But she retired in 1945, and her brother, who was about, I think, vaguely, I think about 20 years younger than her. There's a big, huge difference in age. And he came down with his wife and Geraldine. Well, Geraldine wasn't... She was born in September, so his wife is pregnant with Geraldine. And they took over. And a bit later on, 20 years later, Geraldine was working with her father because, tragically, her mother died. Mm. So she knew that she'd have to come down and help him. And she was a RADA trained, and she was a red coat as well, Butlins.
Yeah.
So she brought her skills down to the pub, and they'd done some amazing things, sort of... raised a lot of money for charity over the years. In fact, her photographs on one of the pillars in Basildon Eastgate is one of, like, the, I think is it the champions of Basildon?
Oh, or, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Now, what is, you've got the book out now, so people can go and get the book, and it'll be at the library as well, I'm presuming. You've got a website. What's the website?
Right. You're asking me that question.
I know you've got a few because I've seen a few websites for you.
Well, I've got one.
Yeah,
I can't always remember the address because it's not straightforward because I don't want to pay the money for.
Wix.com.
But if you googled Lisa Horner Wix, it will come up.
It will come up straight away. Yeah, it's actually all the W's. LisaHorner.wixsite.com.
Yeah, and if you go into the blog, it will link you now onto my author page because I've decided it's too much hard work to do a blog and do an author page. So now you have to go straight to my author page on Facebook, and that's always going to be updated.
Yep, excellent. So you can find out more there as well. What's next for you?
I've said I'm interested in other areas as well, not just Basildon. I am also interested in ghost stories. I've tried to run a competition, but I haven't had anyone write in yet about anywhere in Essex. I'd like to hear someone's ghost story.
Oh, wow.
If you go to Lisa Horner, author of Basildon, I think it's Lisa Horner Authors is my page now, but anyway, you can find it for my website. You can write to me with a ghost story, and I've got it down by Halloween. I'll select the best story and I'll give them a free book.
Oh, excellent.
I'm glad I'm here to advertise it because I haven't had anyone
we'd do that. Okay. And also advertise.
I know lots of people that are interested in their horror. Lots of people love their horror.
I would love to write a book about that, and I want to move on from pictures. I mean, they are fascinating, but I'd like to extend my writing. I've sort of got a step backwards, but I've just started with the Writers Bureau because I want to get better at writing.
Yeah.
Because mainly it's being very factual. Mm. So I also want to do, you know,
a short stories. Short stories. Join us in London.
Yeah. Yes.
You are a published author, and they have to be fairly professional to belong. But we do lots of short stories and fiction and. You know, all tight.
That's another person Sylvia swept off. she does that, sweeps people off, and we never see them again. Yeah. Who knows? Thank you very much for coming in today, ladies. It's lovely to see you both.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're feeling better, Sylvia.
Yes.
And good luck with your fantastic book as well.
Yes, thank you very much. Well, I'm hoping you'll have some signings in Smith's and Waterstones.
There isn't a Waterstones in Basildon anymore, but there is
Smith's. We have one in
Brentwood. Would people be interested in Basildon and the Basildon
book? Oh, yes, we'll make sure they are.
Yeah. Okay.
Tell them.
Okay. Yeah.
And radio is the perfect.
And radio is great. And also Sylvia has got word of mouth, and she knows loads of people.
Okay.
I did say word of mouth, didn't I? Yeah. Thank you very much, ladies. We're just coming up to the 12 o'clock news, so let's have a little bit of music. Thanks very much to Lisa and to Sylvia. And Sylvia will be back with another guest in a month. Here's Southgate and Lee with Rena.
Thank you.
Thank you.